Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast. It looks set to be a riot. Looted from the tech
news. Too soon.
Looted.
It's not a laughing matter, Dan.
From the tech news stores this week, the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 is here. No, it's not actually. Apple's managed to ban its sale across the EU. On me, Edson, FIFA 13 is getting Kinect support. That'll be nice for all those hooligans to play on their new Xboxes. And is BlackBerry Messenger to blame for this week's riots? Yes. Why blame feral youths and criminals when you can pin it all on technology? Speaking of feral, let me introduce my co-host, the lovely Ree Morgan, and the man who's recently acquired a 42-inch telly, three crates of WKD, and a new pair of Reeboks. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello.
Booyah.
Dunk's wearing all his new gear.
Yeah.
Eyes well blinged.
Yeah. He's
got the new look.
Sorry,
is to be seen.
He's
got a Primark t-shirt on.
It's American Apparel. I noticed nobody was looting American Apparel. Yeah, well, looking past it like, oh, no, mate.
Or Waterstones.
Yeah, Waterstones.
Escaped the wrath.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But you know, some of
they look like voracious readers, those
Waterstones
people.
Were saying, well,
respect,
you know.
Respect for the book.
Yes, you know, maybe it wouldn't be such a bad thing if they did loot. Maybe they'd learn something.
Mm. Yeah, maybe they would. Mm. They could read the Anarchist Handbook and learn how to make improvised explosives, and they could read, 1984 and get angry about the repressive state that they're fighting against. Know what I mean? I'll tell you what, you don't have to get a different outlook on these things when you're dating a policeman. Because I think a few years ago, a typical Guardian reading attitude might have been a bit more like, yeah, fight the power,
was
man.
Was he out?
He was, yeah. He was there when it was all kicking off in Hackney, although luckily quite near the end of his shift and got to go away. But
With the full riot gear or
No, because it had only just started. It was just like, oh, something's going on. Oh, rather a lot's going on. Oh, end of my shift. Goodbye.
Oh, well.
But a few years ago, I'd have been like, oh, it's great to see these. Well, I wouldn't say great, but I might have been a bit more like, well, I understand.
Stick it
these
to the feds,
are,
man.
Yeah, yeah, you know, these people are oppressed, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, shoot them in the head. Shoot them all dead where they stand.
No, I don't want plastic bullets. I want live rounds, damn.
Where's
it?
Where's the water, like, gun?
Any
the
of these.
The water gun.
Cannon.
Ne'er-do-wells, go anywhere. Leave my boyfriend alone.
Damn you. So, anything happened to you this week?
Well, it's always important that news is given out in an effective and non-shocking way, particularly in these grim times in which we're currently living.
Yes. Mm.
And today, I was. This is a salutary lesson in this. I received an email. Mm. I'm not quite sure why this shocked me so much, but perhaps, I don't know. But it said, Gary Newman dead. And I don't really know why. You know when, obviously, this is on my phone, you know, on your phone, you get a little, on my excellent new HTC Sensation, you get, at the top of the screen, a little, you know, thing
like
comes
envelope,
up.
Envelope,
I was like,
it?
Oh, bloody hell, Gary Newman's died. Has he, like, crashed his plane or something, or just become so depressed at everything that he's battered himself to death with one of his own synthesizers? And then I open the email, and it's his new single or album or something. It's called Dead Sun Rising. So Gary Newman, Dead Sun Rising, now available at our record shop. It was an email from some record shop that I bought something from once. So I almost had a bloody heart attack.
Wow.
I should sue them.
Sue HTC for condensing that message.
Yeah.
Yeah, another thing to...
Get them. Go and loot some HTC.
Excellent. Gary Newman, safe
not
and well.
Not dead. Yes.
Yes. Just to clear that up, if you're worried that Gary Newman's dead, he's not.
There we are. Excellent.
Maybe
excellent.
Undead. He has that look about him, but not dead.
More accurate. On to our top story then, and it is the riots that swept English cities, fueled, it would seem, by BlackBerry Messenger. Do you buy this, the Daily Mail argument?
I would say fueled. Like it
more,
facilitated it.
Yes, that's the word.
It didn't fuel it. They just used it to...
It
get
is,
in touch, I guess.
To be honest, it is sort of grimly funny, isn't it? Because just when you think things can't really get worse for RIM, you know, the sort of share price plummeting, slightly lukewarm reaction to the new handset. And now it turns out that, I suppose if one thing, it's finally done away with their image of BlackBerry users all being kind of fusty businessman types.
BlackBerry Messenger is very down with the kids.
But
I
unfortunately,
think we can all ascertain that now.
Well, it's basically replaced dull businessmen in people's minds when they think of BlackBerry with basically scum of the earth. Which I don't, unless you subscribe to the all like no publicity is bad publicity theory, it's hard to see how that's good PR.
Yeah, The Guardian got its hands on a few of these BBM. messages. Everyone in Edmonton, Enfield, Wood Green, everywhere in North, link up at Enfield Town Station.
Everyone.
At 4 o'clock sharp. And that was one. Another directing looters to Oxford Circus. Shops are going to get smashed up, so come get some stuff. Brackets, in case there was any doubt. Free stuff! Exclamation mark.
But those ones didn't work.
Exclamation mark.
That's the interesting thing, because everybody's saying, oh, well, you know, they were able to really organise through BlackBerry Messenger. But obviously they weren't, because then, like, 9 out of 10 of the things saying, right, let's all go to here and nick a load of stuff, it didn't actually happen. And a lot of places, to be honest, where it happened, I don't want to cast aspersions on certain areas or whatever, but they were kind of the places that you'd expect. Mm. And they weren't necessarily the kind of places that had particularly amazing shops.
Well, no.
Because it would have made more sense to go to Regent Street.
Yes.
Well, they did it in Birmingham. They got Gucci, didn't they, in Birmingham? They went to
They did kind of go for the Bullring and the kind of more high-end shopping centre was down there.
And Birmingham, not
the,
in
well,
London.
The Bullring there, which does contain high-end shops.
Yeah, and the Arndale Centre in Manchester, which it's got a reputation for grimness, but there are a lot of shops there, at least.
Yeah, we've got the Arndale Centre, and then you've got Harvey Nicks and Selfridges just yards away.
Yeah, I know.
Still, they went for the Arndale.
They went for a Selfridge. They were there.
Well, going for the sociological view again, I mean, these people do have a tendency to shit on their own doorstep.
Well,
because maybe they haven't really thought it through.
JD Sports seemed to be the main target.
Foot Locker.
And Foot Locker.
JD and Foot Locker.
JD PR for them. I'd never heard. I didn't even know what Foot Locker was prior to this week. And now I know it's very popular with urban youth, supposedly.
I've heard of Foot Locker.
Yeah, come on.
I thought it was something to do with, like, Dr. Scholl's sandals. Or something. It doesn't sound like something you buy trains. It sounds like you get podiatry, if that's the word. Or chiropody, whatever.
Of course, now the investigations have begun. Research in Motion saying it will engage with the authorities, because the whole point about these is BBM is secure.
Yeah.
Well, it's like SMS, isn't it? It's like, because everybody was saying, well, why aren't the police looking at BBM? And it's like, because it's not the same as Twitter. This was the interesting thing, was how few, or rather, how many people in a way you almost expect it, politicians, they're a bit out of touch with that sort of thing. But people on the BBC, I was watching the BBC, and their presenters, their anchors, kept on saying things like, so do you think these kids are organising using their phones? Do you think they might be using social networks? It's like, shit, yeah. What do you mean? Yes, well, they've got phones, and I imagine they're communicating on them. Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say, love.
What's
really
interesting on BBM is that features designed to help pin-suited businessmen years ago. So this whole thing of you can use a pin to exchange whole contacts lists.
Yes, and it's very secure, isn't it?
It's very secure. And then you can send messages to your whole corporate network, which is what it's meant to be, is now basically you're sending it to all your contacts and all their contacts. And what was nice is that as well as, you know, young hoodlums receiving these messages, there were normal, sane people getting them and then kind of passing them on in terms of,
This is
what's floating around on BBM, because it's a closed system, so it needed people to take those messages out and go, this is what's going on BlackBerry Messenger. You know, if it was all just sticking around with these oiks, then we wouldn't have known what on earth was going on, because it is closed, its very nature.
But there was an awful lot of chatter as a result. I mean, that was like part of the chaos of it was, I suppose, that so many, you know, a lot of these things didn't happen. So there's all these messages, like everybody's got their own idea of, oh, what's a great shop to go and smash up.
Mm.
And it's almost total information overload.
Yeah.
Twitter was really bad with that. Twitter was completely over.
Yeah, I was going to guess, I've got a couple of some great stuff, because the Daily Mail, the Daily Mail, again, it cited one example. It was desperate to find, you know, people tweeting and trying to organise and this kind of thing. So one of the tweets it quoted, this is from Ashley's AR. It says, I hear Tottenham's going Coco Bananas right now. Watch me roll. Okay, so that was what was quoted in the Daily Mail. Now, that could well be some miscreant up to no good heading down to Tottenham right now to get him some trainers. If you read, actually, however, Ashley AR's full unedited quote, I hear Tottenham's going Coco Bananas right now. Watch me roll up with a spud gun. Was the full tweet. BBC's pointed all this out. He then goes on to say he might pop down with a water pistol.
So that could be slang. Spud gun might mean very, very dangerous gun.
You're right.
That you used to kill people with.
You're right.
The Daily Mail's slang department will have looked into this, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. They've talked Urban Dictionary. Yeah, they've gone,
spud
definitely.
Gun. Right, yeah, there we are.
A spud gun, that's like a Tech 9, isn't it?
Daniel Nothing, he tweeted, heading to Tottenham to join the riot. Who's with me? #anarchy. Well, again, you know, that's quite worrying. Trouble is, he then follows that up with, hang on, the last tweet should have read, curling up on the sofa with an Avengers DVD and my missus, who's with me? Anyway, I mean, it's nice that people have a sense backfired. Of humour. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
5 minutes after that ran on like dailymail.com, the police kicked down his door.
Well, this is it, because people are being arrested in Cardiff overnight. They were
encouraging. And yeah, yeah.
Don't let it be said that these are English riots. Because people were arrested.
Two people in Cardiff.
Right?
Yeah, somewhere in the region of 3,000 in England, but two in Cardiff.
It literally was two in Cardiff. There was a little bit of trouble in Cardiff overnight. Yeah. Actually, technically, you can say the only riots were in England, because I heard it needs 12 people to have a riot, which
really?
Is nice. Yeah, and in Cardiff, it was just little pockets of nonsense. But yeah, so two people arrested inciting unrest on Facebook.
That wouldn't happen in Cardiff.
Is that really a thing?
They're just too drunk.
I mean, talking about hammered.
Yeah. To be honest, there is unrest in Cardiff every Friday night. Anyway,
I was going to say 12 people having a fight.
You don't need
in
to
Cardiff.
Incite this.
That's not a riot. That's just an evening out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, there's 15 people on a rugby team. I mean, that's a riot.
Time a rugby match happens, it's a riot.
How many people on the average stag do? I mean, more than 12, generally speaking.
No, it's like in Nottingham, you know, it's like a friend from Nottingham said, it's like it's all going off in Nottingham, like, you know, pitched battles, police station on fire. It's like, it's obviously like the riots. It's like, how can you tell? It just sounds like a normal night out in Nottingham.
One of the big winners from all the... the big winners. let's take a look at... Blackberry Messenger, obviously getting some great publicity there. The big winner, Sangat TV. Have you been hearing about Sangat?
Yeah, awesome. Mr. Singh in his van.
Brilliant. So Sangat TV is a local Sikh television station based in the West Midlands. And Sky, for a lot of their part, were just rolling with Sangat TV's coverage, because basically this guy was just there. It's like a one-man band broadcasting live, and this continuous stream. He's not throwing to other anchormen or anything like this. Him and a microphone going out.
They sort of change over every 3 or 4 hours. There was a younger guy later on, but it was like Mr. Singh initially, like big kind of mustachioed, sort of very sort of Sikh elder looking kind of guy. And at one point, I think it was either him or maybe the younger guy later, they stopped and gave some policemen a lift.
Yeah, yeah.
So they could pursue some looters.
Well, this was where Sangat really came into me, because, you know, I mean, the worst part of the riots were the three people murdered when they were run over in Birmingham. And Sangat TV were right on that, and they were giving the police a lift to catch some of the people who'd been involved in that, is extraordinary.
Amazing. I mean, it shows what you can do with, like, cheap video cameras as well.
Sangat were also the first to say that these people had died and all this kind of thing, and they were well ahead of the rest of the media. And a lot of people were tweeting kind of like, oh, you know, I can't believe BBC, Sky aren't more across this and all this kind of thing. I can tell you, because I was in the BBC newsroom overnight that night, it wasn't that the BBC wasn't across this, but the BBC, Sky, etc. have to check facts. You know, I mean, that is the new media doesn't need to check facts. Old media does. And that's why it was behind. But
the BBC in particular, most of their people, I don't really mean this as a criticism, because obviously it's exactly what I would do, but most of their people were stood in between, you know, 200 policemen to the left, 200 policemen to the right. Yeah, whatever was going on, like a good 200 yards down
Sangat
the road,
Sangat TV were getting stuck in.
As was Sky. Did you see that guy in Clapham Junction?
Yeah, Sky, to be fair, were getting a bit
He's
more
in Clapham
involved.
Junction.
Shouting at people.
Going, are you having fun?
There was a great argument with one of the BBC correspondents interviewing the people and really challenging them, and like, you know, and the arguments they were coming up with was nonsense. But what I was where I was going with the Sangat thing was it showed you the difference between old media and new media, because new media are well ahead on what was happening in Birmingham. And then last night, overnight, Sangat TV again, the main anchor was saying, a Sikh temple has been burnt down in Derby. It was going all over Twitter again, cries of, oh, why aren't Sky covering this? Why aren't the BBC covering this? Transpired it was a car that got burnt out outside Sikh temple. And even after Sangat TV had eventually tweeted that that was the case, there were still people retweeting the tweets about a Sikh temple being burnt down. You know,
that is the thing,
that
because
is the
like
danger of
like
Twitter,
truth
isn't it?
Gets out much quicker and gets disseminated much quicker, but unfortunately complete untruths go at exactly the same speed, if not faster, because often things that aren't true sound more exciting.
Yeah.
It can be, I mean, it's definitely being used for good as well, hasn't it? Especially on Twitter, all the at right cleanup.
Yeah, that was amazing the day after.
Unbelievable.
London, like, how
you know,
many people came out and
how quickly that was organised. Yeah. At 9 a.m. there were people on the street including Boris Johnson, which is a little opportunistic. I thought that was a bit left
over. Especially to be heckled and wave a broom about.
Bit of a bad taste in the mouth, that one. But yeah, and I mean, I was using it as well. I was out in Chiswick because, you know, Chiswick, you know, obviously.
That's very brave of you, Dan.
Yeah, yeah, look.
Walking the streets of Chiswick is always going on.
It's a hot spot. I really felt that, because I don't know what it was like in other cities. I mean, I've spoken to mates who were in Manchester and things like this, and I know when it was when you know the riots were happening, there was a scary place to be. London was an eerie place to be because there were police after the first two nights. Suddenly, there were police everywhere.
Yeah.
Shops being boarded up. And it was just a very funny, strange place to be.
It's but, the really weird atmosphere.
It's kind of the usual thing with London is it's so big. Because where I was, there was nothing happening at all. But about, you know, between 200 yards away and 4 miles away, you know, if you go up into Hackney, it was massively going off. But if you'd been round at my house, you wouldn't really have known about it. But if I'd turned off the telly.
What I was finding being in Chiswick, and I felt I should be there because I thought, you know, I don't want riots. If these streets get deserted, that's when looters were arriving. So, you know, normal people needed to be there. But there was so much misinformation on Twitter because I was follow, you know, constantly searching on Twitter what was happening in Chiswick, Acton, all this kind of thing. And so many people were saying, oh, it's, you know, some window's just been smashed in. And it's true. The Vodafone shop in Chiswick had a smashed window. It had been done, though, the night before and it had been boarded up and there'd been no more trouble. There was talk of people massing at Brentford Station to come, you know, hordes coming to Chiswick and all this kind of. So in the end, we just drove to Brentford Station, took a picture, showed there was absolutely no one there and posted it up. But, you know, that was the only way to counter this complete nonsense that
was
going
on. It was petrol bombs in Balham. Petrol bombs. There was a man with a machete, apparently.
And what was really annoying about all this was that then people were going, oh, my God, you know, my nan lives in X, you know, and it was, you know. People were getting really worried about stuff that wasn't actually happening.
And also the people who were rioting, if they saw that tweet, you're like, oh, it's kicking off there, let's go there next. So then it was like that
circle it's just
of
like,
they'd go there.
It's just like the way the social media and then the mainstream media, which feeds off of social media a lot nowadays. It was just like what happens every day with that, but obviously in much more extreme
suddenly massive
circumstances. Yeah. The other thing about misusing tech or not understanding tech that I thought was hilarious was that people... One of the main things they were looting, obviously, like first it would be like a plasma screen because that's useful. But then they'd be nicking like sort of laptops and things. Mm. And then they were just going outside and either just smashing them up or selling them for like 20 quid. It was like Zoolander. You know the bit in Zoolander where they cannot fathom what on earth to do with a computer? It's like they got it outside and they're just like, oh. So I me no know how to use.
It was great.
There's like, me smash. Oh, no, me sell for £20. You want this? I don't know what it is.
And also, they don't seem to know.
It looks a bit like a book with a keyboard attached.
They don't seem to know how to use a spanner either. Because if I was a looter, I'd have been perhaps, you know, smashing into Toolmark first, taking a spanner, then going into Ladbrokes and trying to get the TV off the stand.
I don't think they were thinking. They were
like just yanking this thing off. If they had eventually succeeded in getting off, and I don't think we ever saw them. I mean, they were really going at it. Whoever makes those stands, you know, they really should use that for publicity. But
yeah, hats off to the makers of those stands.
Had they actually managed to get it off, it would have been so knackered. You wouldn't have a usable television.
They're quite fragile, aren't they, flat screens? So,
yeah, we're talking like crystal displays. You know,
I think that was what possibly that's what sickened me the most about the whole thing. It was not so much the looting as the sheer lack of organisation. they hadn't thought it through at all. You know, they hadn't carried out a risk assessment. They hadn't planned what tools they might need. And that, to me, was what really turned my stomach.
They did in Clapham. In Clapham, they broke into the fancy dress shop to get masks.
But even that just seems kind of ridiculous. So, like, a load of people wearing Amy Winehouse wigs.
Well, this is it.
And pirate eye patches.
Yeah.
Like an eye patch over both eyes, so you can't see who they are.
But then the stupidity was, like, they burnt that down and all the proceeds from that fancy dress shop goes to children on the streets.
Oh, I'd say, I mean, that is a really... for anyone in London, really, that's a really famous fancy dress shop. You know, if you have ever been to a party in London at some time in your life, you've probably been to that shop. Because
party superstore.
It is the place to buy your comedy wigs. I know police are looking for three scousers with curly hair and an Elvis impersonator. So let's hope they're caught.
And Ronald McDonald.
There's some great analysis as well on Twitter on this whole BlackBerry thing. Mike Berard, blaming riots on BlackBerry is like blaming World War II on the Telegraph. UK, you have a social problem, not a social media problem. I know what he's done there. Matters Man. Amid all the theories on the starts of the riots, no one's mentioned that BlackBerry autocorrect changes fancy a pint to fancy a riot. I think we have established how this all happened. Just a simple simple message to head to the pub, turn nasty. So
I'm glad we've got to the bottom of that.
Yeah, once again, Rim. This is
once again, Rim. Yes, indeed. Yeah. It's good that we're taking such a sober analysis of these troubling times, isn't it?
That's good.
This is what the world needs.
I thought
needs
we'd get a Willy joke
the,
in there.
Tea
free
podcast.
Willy joke, anyone?
Yeah, Willy joke,
no.
Anyone?
No.
Well, I was going to say, what's the thing with penis that autocorrects? Autocorrects to no cock and anal. I don't know how that would lead to a riot necessarily. But if you type in...
Might lead to something else. I don't know.
If you type in anal, I remember my Sony Ericsson always used to correct it to cock. And vice versa.
There's nothing,
could lead
there's,
to all manner of terrible
nothing,
misunderstandings.
There's nothing worse than getting cock when you want anal. Anyway, plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. Apple has secured an injunction banning the sale of the Galaxy Tab 10.1 across the EU just a week after it hit UK stores. Apple is accusing Samsung of blatant copying. Samsung says it was given no warning and no opportunity to present its own evidence. It's been told it can appeal the German ruling in a month's time.
Motorola has confirmed that it's begun rolling out Android 3.1 for its Zoom tablet in the UK. Hooray. Some 3 months after the upgrade was made available in the US. But by now, if you want one, court paper suggests the Zoom is next on the list for Apple's lawyers.
Oh, gosh.
Believe it or not, believe it, I think, in the light of the last two stories, Apple is now officially the world's biggest company by value. It edged ahead of ExxonMobil after the oil giant was hit by the continued slump in the stock market. Apple shares are now 40% more valuable than they were a year ago.
And it's going the other way for Facebook. Its popularity appears to have peaked, as new reports suggest its share of the social networking pie fell almost 4 percentage points during July, to its lowest point in 2 years. Research firm Experian Hitwise says Facebook fell from nearly 54% to just over 50% as Twitter and YouTube made gains.
EA Sports says it will officially unveil the release details for the FIFA 12 demo at Gamescom in Germany next week, just over a month ahead of the game's UK release date on the 30th of September. EA's also confirmed that next year's FIFA will have support for Kinect, saying that what it's working on is cool and makes sense in play.
And finally, OnLive's UK release date has been confirmed. Cloud Gaming will land from the 22nd of September, the same day the Eurogamer Expo opens in London. OnLive is promising more than 100 top-tier games at launch to be played across PCs, Macs, tablets, or TVs.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Online is exciting. We've been waiting. I'm sure we talked about that years ago.
About 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We invented it
now
practically.
Whoa, what's going on there? My God. There's no more news.
That's it. Nothing else has happened this week.
That was like a hold the front page moment. This hot off the presses.
Just coming in.
No. But hot off the press, it's time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM, Duncan.
I misheard that as butt hot off the presses. Well, not misheard. That's how my brain puts words together.
It is.
So, buggered if... Oh, I see. Buggered if I know... I was going to say bugger di fino.
Which is Italian, of course, for... Anyway.
Yeah, cock and anal. Also known as Dave Reed, says, what we got wrong, etc. Our next podcast will be available to download on Friday. Mm-hmm. No, it bastard won't, says Dave. Where's episode 194? Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that was a technical issue. Something went weird in RCMS and then on iTunes and the RSS feed.
Yeah.
So
everything went
got that. It'll never happen again. Don't worry about it. And he eventually updated his tweet, though, saying, hurrah, podcast 194 on iTunes. So it's downloaded and I'm off out with the dog. Thanks, all. He looks like he needs a wee.
You're waiting 2 days.
For Dave.
Too much information.
Yeah, possibly.
I did notice, actually, though, that the failure of the podcast to appear did happen to coincide with the unprecedented rioting and looting across the country.
And also the cessation, more or less, of the rioting has coincided with its return to iTunes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Yeah.
Something to think about there.
I think so.
I'm not saying we both caused and brought to an end the riot. That's not for me to say.
No.
But other people could draw that conclusion.
Just put that out there. Yeah. Okay. Ree.
I've got PR Gilbert 2011, also known as Peter Gilbert. Duncan's moaning about his HTC. I think he dropped his iPhone so he can play his Can't Bear This Any Longer card and get the iPhone 5.
Maybe I'm just
Apple are going to hear your your cries.
They're going to send me one nice and early.
Yeah.
I don't know, cause maybe this makes me sound like a dick, but I have been seriously considering actually buying another iPhone. I don't think I can wait for the new one. I don't think I can endure this the sensation much longer.
Well. But I guess I've got less than a month.
And we talked about the three-wheeler Yorban scooter last week, which promptly fell off. Video now on tt.com.
Yeah, it's good.
Sofa Hippo, brackets Terry Maline, says, "Dear God, it's ugly," adding, "Really wants a podcast mention. Please, guys." And then, I'm going to estimate it's about 50 question marks.
So what was the name again?
I don't know. Don't know who that was.
Is his name really Terry Maline?
Good name.
Have you mistyped that?
No. That's his stated name of Sofa Hippo.
Has it been called Maline? Has that been called Dave Evil or something? Brian.
That's,
unpleasant.
The Maline people are a proud race. Possibly.
Yes, don't malign the Malines.
Yes. On the Facebook group, Leon Fenner, "I wonder if these kids rioting are mincing down the streets Double Dragon style." Reference there to last week's pod.
Whipping people.
Very good. Yes.
Take that.
Carrying on the rioting theme, James Mack says, "Ree's gadget of the week this week will be either A, a massive brick for punting through a window, or B, something she's looted from the Old Kent Road curries." Well, funny you should mention that.
Sold that for 20 quid.
Got gadget of the week to come. So.
And finally, there's been some frantic Google Plussing after Simon White offered 150 invites on the group. Lots of people taking up on the offer, but a Google Plus T3 podcast group has been abandoned. As it turns out, Google Plus doesn't do groups yet.
Well, we could all agree.
What's that about?
To have.
We could do a Google Plus profile.
Google Plus circle.
Yeah, but you see, your circle.
You'd have to trust everybody else to do the same.
Yeah.
Because they might put us.
I've created a podcast circle.
A different circle.
But other people don't know they're in necessarily that circle, and they, you know.
It does get confusing.
Yeah. Someone did mention that Google have bought a company that somehow does groups. I don't know why they can't do groups themselves. So maybe
it's
we'll
just the Google way. They just buy things.
Yeah. We could spend some time doing this ourselves, but no, let's just buy these people. So groups apparently are on the way. So once they are, a T3 podcast group will be shortly.
We'll be there.
Shortly behind.
And then obviously nobody will use it because nobody does use Google Plus. But it'll be nice. We'll be there. At least we can say we're offering
an awful lot of people took up that offer of a Google Plus invite.
I think everybody wants to have a look at Google Plus.
I think that's true.
And there's nothing particularly wrong with Google Plus, but there's no particular reason to use it. I don't think.
Okay. Now then, Ree, what have we got for our gadget of the week?
It is the HTC Evo 3D. The real thing is here, look.
Wow.
It's here in person.
Mm-hmm. I can vouch for the fact it is here. Mm-hmm. That wasn't just re-tapping a cigarette box.
Two nights ago, it was in Vodafone in Peckham.
Yeah, and, here we are.
Nobody wanted it, so...
the last thing on the shelf.
I've got to show Duncan something, actually, because he will love this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think you might actually, Dunk. Yeah.
Basically, in your photos, when you look at your photos in your menu...
Well, perhaps Dunk should press the photo.
Press the one you want to look at.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see what happens.
Then see what happens. Ooh. Look at that.
Ooh, mosaic.
Did you tell him last week that you hate the way the menu...
I think it's meant to be in 3D.
I think it needs to be combined with the... with that noise. Do you remember on what game show is that where they sort of reveal a little segment?
But basically, it reveals it in sections.
Mr. Chips.
There we are.
That wasn't the name of the program, so it was the name of the guy.
Catchphrase.
Say what you see.
It's good, but it's not right.
It's the sensation is something along those lines. When you just want to look at a photo, you're basically paying catchphrase to actually see the full damn thing. It's bloody annoying.
It didn't look very 3D.
No, we were like, Dan and I were playing with it. You have to hit a really specific sweet spot.
No, it's difficult because we haven't got them side by side to compare with. But when I tried the LG, I was really impressed with the 3D. I seemed to click in very quickly and it seemed fairly robust, even if you sort of moved around a little. Yeah. Obviously, you couldn't move around much. That, I don't know, it took me a little longer to click in. It seemed very difficult to keep it.
Is this
if you
homepage
moved it ever
in
3D? So slightly?
No.
You're looking in portrait, it needs to be in landscape to get 3D. But yeah, take a photo is probably the best way of doing it.
And also, this hasn't got the 3D menu like the Optimus 3D has. Yeah. It's just pictures and
not
movies.
Not quite so much.
Yes, now actually, to be fair, Ree, that picture you just showed me wasn't in 3D. There's a separate folder for 3D pictures.
There we go.
No, they were all 3D because I took them all.
Because this one does look 3D. It's making my eyes go funny. Some of those magic eye things. It's a dragon on a beach.
It definitely works and it works very well. It just didn't seem as
quick.
Yeah, quick or good, or there's something not as good as the LG about it, which is not something we often say when comparing HTC and LG phones.
I mean, ignoring the 3D bit, I suppose it's kind of like the Sensation, but chunkier. Looks slightly nicer.
It's a bit retro. I like it at the back. It looks like a cassette.
I have an observation here, which is the button that turns off the virtual keyboard is still immediately below where the virtual keyboard comes up. But I think maybe a little bit further down. Maybe they were listening last week.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Recalled all their units for a quick...
So here it is.
I much prefer the look and feel of that to the Sensation. Straight away, I feel more at home with that. Basically, what I'm saying is it looks and feels more like an iPhone 4. It's like more squared off and it's more...
That's your criteria of a good phone, essentially.
But, I did like that phone. I did like it until I dropped it in the toilet.
So, aside from the 3D...
Yeah, it's got a 1x2 GHz processor to help you along the way.
Dual core?
Dual core, yeah. How
much RAM?
1 gig of RAM.
Ooh, 1 gig of RAM.
1 gig of RAM. That's 4 gig of storage.
Plus micro SD.
Is that a dedicated camera button?
Yes,
on
it
the
is.
Top? That's nice.
And
to
it's
see.
Also got the switch at the top that takes you from 2D to 3D.
In a world where dedicated camera buttons are disappearing, it's nice to see that.
So like David Attenborough.
Yeah.
This is the last of the dedicated camera. This majestic button, sweeping.
Something
nothing
like
David Attenborough, but you get the gist.
Yeah, we'll see where you're going. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. So, is there going to be some kind of side-by-side, head-to-head
there
with the LG?
There already is.
Oh, wow.
Online, there's a video and there's a head-to-head review as well.
Great. On TV.com.
We don't piss about on TV.com, let me tell you.
Good. Thank you, Ree. Actual quality gadget of the week for once.
Thank you.
Now then, for those of us with actual jobs, I'm not sure I count podcast hosts as a job, but who haven't been out looting this week, T3 has been looking at some of the essential work gear for the tech-savvy man or woman about town. This is a sort of a collection of features that is on T3.com, some older than others.
Originally published in the magazine.
There's a Game Boy in there.
Yes, but brought together in one compendium for the first time.
It has to be said, the person who wrote the oldest of the three articles has subsequently died of old age. I'm not saying we rehash material here at T3.
Certainly not. But... So, that with that proviso made, what will you be taking into the urban jungle from this list then, Dunk?
I thought I'd stay away from the tech bits because some of it was so old. I'm not saying it was old, but some of it was in the Bayer tapestry. So I thought I'd play it safe and go for... Oh, where are my notes? The Aspel's hip flask. The essential for every...
businessman.
For the alcoholic.
Well, I'm not being funny. I am a journalist.
Well, that's true.
It's of sorts. Anyway. Yes. And, you know, I'm just keeping up the proud tradition of...
Boozing.
Liver damage that has sustained our profession for many years. But this isn't just any old hip flask.
Oh, no.
No. First, it's made by Aspinalls. Do I mean Aspinalls or do I mean Aspels? It's Aspels, isn't it? Aspels is like a wildlife park, isn't it? Okay. Aspels. It's a double leather hip flask, by which
double
I don't mean
leather.
It's twice as leathery. It's actually a double hip flask. One, it's a 3 ounce. This is how old it is. 3 ounces. Everything else on T3 has gone metric decades ago. A 3 ounce cognac. I've been using it, I've been test driving it, so now I've lost the power of speech. A 3 ounce cognac flask.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. But attached to it is an espresso flask. Which I can only assume means that if you're really keen on Irish coffee, this is for you.
Or you drink
just undo
the drink.
Both things and then
The drink and then use the coffee to sober you up.
That's it. Yeah. You've cracked it.
Or you use the coffee to disguise the smell of your breath when you're having a meeting with the CEO.
Yeah.
No, it is very clever. You could have a third flask with sort of mouthwash in it, and then that would really sort you out.
Alcoholic mouthwash.
Yeah.
Actually, mouthwash often is alcoholic, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
You don't swallow it.
Well, you don't.
Depends how desperate you are.
Ree, your pick.
Oh, we've gone all tech. Mine's a fountain pen.
Perfected in 1893, the fountain
actually,
pen
it's not,
is
a quill, actually.
Yeah.
Fountain pen.
But it's not just any old fountain
no,
pen.
No, it's the Mont Blanc Mark Twain Writer's Edition 2010.
Mark nice. Twain, modern author.
Fountain pen. Yeah, so, yeah, I've got a thing for fountain pens. I really like fountain pens.
I like fountain pens.
They do feel nice, don't they?
I just don't like it when the ink explodes when you're trying to get it into the fountain pen.
Mont Blanc
annoying.
Tend not to do that.
Yeah, I'd assume. What does the Mont Blanc
thing.
Retail for?
£615.
You'd be very annoyed if that were to explode ink over you after you'd splashed out that
much. Not a Parker, is it? Step up from
I'm not saying
Parker.
Parkers do
no,
that either.
No.
In case their lawyers are listening.
Yeah. but yeah, basically.
Stop it.
Is it blue, actually?
Does it have any... It is there anything particularly technical about it?
It's blue and it represents the Mississippi River.
Oh, for the love of. right, I'm going to go with the... right, there is something technical about this. It's the Ogon RFID wallet, which sounds very technical. Really, it's just an aluminium case, which... so you get rid of your old school, very, out of fashion now, leather wallet and replace it with this aluminium wallet. Now, the reason, do you know the reason why you might want to do this?
I actually do know the reason, but you can tell.
Well, I'm going to fill you in. well, because the metal of the case prevents hacking of your RFID chips on all your contactless payments, which, of course, we're now all going to be carrying
around. Which we all use.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the time.
And as we know, on street corners everywhere, there are people trying to steal money from those contactless.
I think that's why the riots started again.
Well, exactly, yes.
Yeah. They were frustrated by all these people with aluminium wallets, preventing them from somehow hacking their cards.
Yeah. 30 quid from Firebox. Well, I suppose that's 30 quid. It's about right for a wallet, isn't it? One that prevents, keeps your details secure.
That is, but you would have to be very paranoid indeed invest in such a thing, I think. But
I am that paranoid.
Excellent. You're the target market.
Yes, there we are. Well, that is about all for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest, even T3 is on the shelves and on the iPad. And we're on iTunes, God willing, every Friday. Till next week then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.